so glad that you could be here with us on International Sunday. A lot of people brought some really good food, and I can smell it coming through the doors there. So let's thank God for that. Amen. We're looking forward to having some time after the service today to fellowship together, to get to know each other better, and to just spend that community together that Acts 2:42 talks about, sharing meals together. And that's one of the ways that we can encourage and strengthen ourselves. And I believe that today, through the Word of God, God is going to bless us. He's going to speak to us. But I also believe that iron sharpens iron. And as we sit down and we talk about things, the more we open up with one another and the more we share with one another, the more God can do in our lives. Amen? Hallelujah. We're so glad that you're here. If you're a first-time guest, we're glad that you're here today. So River of Life, let's let our first-time guests know we're glad they're here. Thank you, Jesus. We're glad that you're here today. Before I get into the Word, let me just go ahead and say happy birthday to all the Marines in the house this morning. Amen. Thank you guys for your service. It's a good day to be a Marine. Amen. We're excited about our birthday today, and so just want to say happy birthday to all the guys. Last Sunday was a great Sunday. We had a team, for those of you that weren't able to make it, we had a team from our Jacksonville campus up. We had a prophetic Sunday, and I don't know about you, but it was such a huge blessing, and we're going to try to start doing that a little bit more often, maybe once a quarter. We're going to try to have a service like that, because it's very encouraging to get a word from the Lord like that. Amen? It's a very, very encouraging thing for all of us. And so what I want to talk to you about today, if you've got your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to get into some stuff this morning. We're going to be talking about the Word of God in Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to be in Romans a little bit, as well. And so you can go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter 5 and get ready. And being as it's the Marine Corps birthday, I want to talk to you this morning. The title of my message is going to be Walk in the Spirit, is what the title of the message is going to be. So we're going to talk about that. But how many of you Marines or sailors have been stationed on a ship? Anybody here ever been stationed on a ship, or you've done a deployment on a ship? Sea legs before, and you know that the first time you get on ship, and you hear the term sea legs, and you didn't know anything about sea legs until you get on ship, and all of a sudden you realize, even though those Navy ships are big, they move, and it begins to affect you, even if you're on a big ship, on an aircraft carrier, on an LHD. And it's so funny, because you have to learn how to walk again once you get on ship, because you basically have to learn to start moving with the ship. And after a while, what happens is you get so used to that, you don't even notice it anymore. You once you're on there for a couple of months, couple of weeks, all of a sudden you're walking and the ship is moving, and you get so used to that that it doesn't even register that anything is moving until you get off ship and you get back on the land again and you start walking like this. And you guys know what I'm talking about. It's such a weird feeling to walk and the ground not be moving again. And it takes you a day or so to get back into that. And so I want to talk to you this morning about walking. And I want to talk to you not about walking on ships, or not about walking necessarily in the flesh, but I want to talk to you about walking in the Spirit. And how many of you know, I've got a video that I want to show you, and we're going to go ahead and show this video. And I want to show you this video of this baby learning how to walk. And we're going to look at this, and then we're going to talk about it a little bit today. So I think we can throw it up there. There he is. Let's see if we can get this moving here. There we go. Thank you. finally got it. Now, let me ask you something. When you look at this, how many of us are smiling and we're watching this baby learn how to walk? And it's such an amazing thing to see that. And I want you to just think about this morning. God is looking for us to learn how to walk in the Spirit. And I want you to notice some things. You can learn to walk in the natural and the Spirit by what? Watching others. The first thing I want to share with you, just three things really quickly, and then we're going to get into the Word. If you notice that baby, he was watching somebody. He was looking at somebody. And as he sees them begin to walk, a desire takes place on the inside of him to be able to do that same thing in the natural and also in the spiritual. There are people that God puts in your life to show you how to walk in the Spirit, because we're not just born again knowing how to walk in the Spirit. Amen? And I want you to also notice one of the things that happened is, how many times did he fall? How many times did that baby trip and fall down? And did you see him get discouraged one time? He had a smile on his face every time he fell. Why? Because there was somebody there with him saying, you can do it. Come on and get back up. Now, I want to tell you this morning, you may have tried so many times to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, and you may have fallen down. You may be discouraged this morning, but I want you to know that your Heavenly Father is watching you today. No matter how many times you've fallen, no matter how many times you slip, no matter how many times you've not been able to do what God has called you to do, I want to tell you today that God is looking at you, and every time he sees you try, he is excited about that and he's happy about that, just like when you watch a little thing. And I want you to understand as well, what's another thing that that little kid did as he was trying to walk? What did he do? He reached out and he put his hand on steady objects. He placed his hand on stuff that was immovable, because he knew if he didn't hold on to something that was immovable, he didn't have the balance, he was going to fall. And I want to tell you this morning, the same way you walk in the Spirit is by getting your hands and your heart wrapped around the immovable Word of God. Because if God's Word says that you can do it, you can do it. Amen. If God, I want you to think we can walk in the Spirit, then we absolutely can walk in the Spirit. And so I want you to think about this as we get ready to look at these words. It is what you do to get where you want to go. Amen. Wouldn't you say that? If you want to go somewhere, God has given you two legs to get up and go somewhere. Now, when we're babies, we see babies, they are at the mercy of other people to pick them up and take them places. But at a certain point in your natural life, you grow to the place where you're actually able. You exercise those legs. You see that baby doing the squats. He couldn't walk yet, but he was getting those muscles strong enough. And there are some people that haven't been able to walk in the Spirit yet, but you've been doing some spiritual squats in areas of your life. You've been trying, you've been working, and I'm telling you that today God wants to see you begin to walk in the Spirit. You got to come to a place where you don't depend on others to get you where you need to be. You can't depend on the flesh to get you where you need to be spiritually. And there's a difference, and this is what happens so many times, and this is what I want to talk to you about. So many of us come to God, and we get born again, and we have a spiritual relationship with God, and then we try to walk our relationship with God out in the flesh. And that's not the way you walk with God. We can't walk in the flesh, because the Bible says if you walk in the flesh, you can't please God. You got to learn to walk in the Spirit. And I know it can be kind of difficult at times to be a grown person and to think, I have to learn how to walk. That's a weird concept. I remember when my wife and I moved to Italy as missionaries, we did not speak Italian. And I'm telling you, for about a year straight, I felt like a little child everywhere that I went. And I would look at kids that were like 3 or 4 years old, and they were speaking Italian better than me. And it was so frustrating, because I had so much in my heart that I wanted to say, but I couldn't say it. And then I could understand what people were saying, but I couldn't say what I wanted to say back. And it was such a frustrating thing until finally that broke through in my life, and that then I was able to begin to speak in Italian. And I'm telling you, some of us, we get frustrated because we tried to walk in the Spirit and nobody's really shown us how. And then we get frustrated and we just say, you know what, I'm going to love God, but I'm just going to walk in the flesh because I don't know how to walk in the Spirit. I don't know how to do it. And I'm telling you this morning, if that's you, God brought you here this morning because he's going to show us some things in his Word today. How do you walk in the Spirit? That's what I want to talk to you about today. So let's pray And let's ask God to be with us, and then we're going to get into Galatians chapter 5. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you that it's powerful. God, I thank you that it changes our lives. I thank you that it has power to do amazing things in us, God. And Lord, we just come to you today in Jesus' name, and I thank you for the food that we're going to receive afterwards, but I thank you for the food that you have for us right now, the spiritual food that you have for us. And God, we ask you today that each and every one of us would be touched and we would be changed by the power of your word before we leave. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. And what I want to do is I'm just going to read this passage of Scripture, and then we're going to break it down and talk about it. We're going to read Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 25, and then I'm going to come back and break this down verse by verse. So he says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And so the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Galatian church right here. And I want you to understand when you begin to look at this, we'll go back to verses 16 and 17 and let's break this down a little bit. He said, I say then, walk in the Spirit. It's a command in Scripture. Walk in the Spirit and what? You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. If you go and read Romans chapter 7 and the Apostle Paul is talking, and it sounds like he's going crazy because he basically says, and every Christian, because in born again, that has tried to walk in the Spirit knows exactly what he's talking about. Because in Romans chapter 7, Paul said, listen, the thing that I don't want to do, that's the thing that I end up doing, and the thing that I want to do, I don't want to do. It sounds like he's schizophrenic, it sounds like he's bipolar, like he's got multiple personalities, but in actuality, we talked about this a little bit on Wednesday night. To understand this, you have to understand that you are a spirit that lives in a body that possesses a soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions. And when you as a believer come to faith in Jesus Christ, your spirit gets born again, but your mind does not get born again, and your flesh does not get born again. And what happens now is there's a spirit that loves God and desires to please God on the inside of you. And the problem is you've got a fleshly nature and you've got a carnal mind that does not want to please God, and it wants to fight against that. And so a Christian is dealing with this dilemma on the inside because their spirit wants to please God and their flesh wants to please the flesh. Who can say amen to that? Who's experienced that in their life? But Paul is saying, listen, there's a way to do that. There's a way to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And he basically says, listen, if you can learn to walk in the Spirit, guess what's going to happen? You're not going to fulfill the lusts of the flesh if you can learn to walk in the Spirit. And this is a beautiful thing as we look at this. What this tells us is every born-again believer can choose to walk in the Spirit. Today, if you are born again with the Spirit of God, you absolutely have the choice to walk in the Spirit. You can walk in the Spirit of God. You can walk in the presence of God, or you can choose to walk in the flesh. Just because you're saved does not mean you can't walk in the flesh, amen? How many of you know what I'm talking about? You can be thinking about God and worshiping God one minute and yell at your wife the next minute and get angry with her and kick the dog. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That can happen. We can go from one to the other, and the key to not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh is what? Walking in the Spirit, remaining in the Spirit, walking like Jesus walked. And it's very clear in these verses. It says we can choose to walk in the flesh according to the dictates of the flesh, or we can choose to walk in the Spirit and be controlled by the Spirit. And I want you to understand, like we talked about, the flesh and the Spirit are contrary to each other. If you feel like you have a civil war going on in your mind and you think you're crazy, listen, you're not. You're born again. If there's a struggle in your life and your flesh is pulling you to sin and your spirit is pulling you to obey God, praise God, that lets you know that you've been born again by the Spirit of the living God, because without being born again, there is no pull to obey God. Before I got saved, I sinned and loved it. I had no problems with it. I loved doing all the bad things. I loved going and doing all these things. The moment I got saved, the moment that I was born again, the void anymore. I can't have fun with it, maybe for a season, but all of a sudden, then it turns to gravel in my mouth and I hate it. There are people that are Christians that do things that they hate and they do things that they're embarrassed of. They do things that they're ashamed of afterwards. Why? Because they're not walking in the Spirit, they're walking in the flesh. Pastor can't get any amens. This won't do things that your spirit wants to do. This is how Christians can be in addiction, because they're gratifying the flesh instead of the Spirit. That's exactly how it happens. You say, how can a Christian be addicted to this? Or how can a Christian have it? It's very simple, because they are not walking in the Spirit. They haven't learned, or they're just choosing to walk in the flesh. Just because you get saved doesn't mean you can't be bound by sin. It doesn't mean that you can't enter back into that stuff. How many of you have seen you can take a pig and pull it out of the mud and wash it, and all of a sudden if you turn that pig loose, it's going right back to the mud hole. If something doesn't change on the inside of it, if it doesn't get a new nature, if something doesn't happen, it's going to do what pigs do. And just because I say a prayer and just because I say that I love Jesus, if there's not a change in my nature, then something didn't happen. Does that make sense this morning? The good news is if you're doing something that you don't wish to do, you can learn to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I want to tell you, that's the most beautiful thing that I can tell you this morning, is that anybody that is bound by something, anybody that is doing things in their life that they're not proud of, that they don't like, that they wish that they could get free from, I have good news for you this morning. I want to tell you that the power of Jesus Christ is real, and He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He's already broken the power of sin in everyone's life. And if the word says walk in the Spirit, God does not give commands that He does not give the power to walk out. But here's the deal: you can't walk in the Spirit in your flesh. You can't do it. And that's what we try to do many times. And that's why Paul talked to the Galatians and he said, oh foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? You started out in the Spirit, now you're trying to keep the law. And that's what so many of us Christians do. We start out in the Spirit and we get this breakthrough from God, but then we try to live by rules and regulations instead of living and walking in the Spirit. Galatians 5:18 says this, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now this is an amazing verse. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Spirit-led people aren't governed by the law because of freedom in Christ. If you're born again and you've been changed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you don't live the rest of your life trying to keep the Ten Commandments. I know Christians that try to live by the Ten Commandments. Righteousness, the old covenant. Jesus came to fulfill the law, and so that His righteousness could be manifested in us and the Holy Spirit could live in us and lead us and guide us into all truth. Amen? So if you're trying to fulfill the Ten Commandments, you're looking at it the wrong way. You're looking at it from an old covenant way. What does that verse say? If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law anymore. Does that mean the law is done away with? No, it doesn't mean the law is done away with, because it still serves a purpose for those that are not that are still under the law. It points them to Christ. It shows them that they need a Savior. It's a schoolmaster that points them to Christ. It tells us what sin is. The law is still spiritual and it's still useful, but for the believer, we don't live by the law. We don't live under the law. We live by the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of us. We don't need the laws to tell us what to do or not to do, because the Holy Spirit lives in us and guides us. If you be led by the Spirit, if you're a person that's led by the Spirit, you're not under the law anymore. Now, I want to give you something to kind of help you understand that. Turn with me real quick to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to read verses 1 through 4. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. And go ahead and say amen when you got it. Amen. So let's go. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh. Look at that. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Now, there's so much in those four verses right there that are so amazing. Let's break it down and look at that for just a minute. I want you to notice in verse 8, he says, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Listen this morning. If you are in Christ, the Bible says you're a new creation. The old things have passed away. All things have become new. So no matter what you've done in the past, that has been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you have been made a new person. So in Christ, there is nothing and no one that can bring condemnation to you because Jesus has paid your fine. I don't know about you, but that's good news to me this morning. Now, I want you to notice that in verse 2, there are two laws that it talks about. Look at this. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it says, has made me free from the law of sin and death. How many laws are there? How many do you see there? There are two. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. So on one hand, we've got the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, because this is such a beautiful thing. This is for people who are in Christ, who are walking in Christ, who have been born again by the Spirit of God. This is what he says. I want you to understand that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus and the law of sin and death are two different laws, but they both operate right now. What is the law of sin and death? What does the Bible say about the soul that sins? It will what? It will surely die. That's the law of sin and death. So every single one of us, the first time we sinned, the moment we sinned, the death penalty was over our heads. We were under the law of sin and death. The Ten Commandments were part of the law of sin and death. You break the Ten Commandments, you die. You're gone. You're done. You're destroyed. That's the way it is. Now, we were under that law, but the Bible says now, because of Jesus Christ and because of the Spirit of life in Christ, we have been set free from the law of sin and death. So now we're not under that law anymore. And that may be a little bit confusing. How can both of those laws work at the same time? Let me give you an example. A few hundred years ago, Newton. He was under an apple tree, an apple fell off and hit him on the head, and what did he discover? The law of gravity. Guess what? The law of gravity existed from the time God created the earth, but it was only then that he understood that and he discovered that, and then we had the law of gravity and we understood. What's the law of gravity in layman's terms? What goes up must come down, right? And then all of a sudden, a couple hundred years after that, these two brothers in North Carolina, all of a sudden, they began to go up in something, and they didn't have to come back down. And what did we learn from Orville and Wilbur Wright is they began to fly an airplane. We learned what? The law of aerodynamics. And what does the law of aerodynamics state? It's basically really complicated, but what it means is if something can go fast enough and get the right lift and get not enough drag, it can actually fly. Now, let me ask you this. Does gravity still work? The law of gravity still works, right? Why the law of aerodynamics is working? And so let me explain to you why this is real and this is right in the Bible. We have two laws in the Bible, and one supersedes the other one, but it doesn't cancel it out. In other words, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is a higher law than the law of sin and death, just like the law of aerodynamics is a higher law than the law of gravity. Let me explain something to you. You can walk outside on this roof right now, and you can fall off this roof and die while an airplane's flying overhead. Both of those laws are in act at the same time. Do you see how that works? Just because an airplane is flying in the sky doesn't mean I can fly. It doesn't mean I can do that. I can fall off and die while an airplane's flying over my head, right? And in the same way, in the spirit right here, what you got to understand is that there are people who have not been born again, and they're still under the spirit. They're still under the law of sin and death. They're under that law. That law is real in their life, and it's working, and it's real in their life. But just like you can choose to get into an airplane, and you can fly over that law, the same way when you come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, you are no longer bound to the law of sin and death because the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from that. Now, I don't know about you this morning, but that is good news for me to understand. I can walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. I can say no to my flesh when before I had no power. My flesh drugged me around. It told me what to do. It dictated to me what I did, and I had to do what it said. But now, because of the spirit of the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, I've been set free from that lesser law. And I can walk me, and I can walk, and I can do things that other people can't do. And it has nothing to do with me, and it has everything to do with my Lord and Savior work to raise, and his power at work effectually in my life. And the same power that worked to raise Jesus from the dead will work in your life and give you power and victory over every work of the flesh if you'll surrender and submit to him. Verse number 3 says that the law can't help us. We're talking about that law of sin and death. It can't help us because it was weak through the flesh. All the law can do is point out our guilt. We're getting ready to look at a list of things in these next few verses. And you're going to be tempted to look at that and feel guilty. You're going to be tempted to look at that and have all these different things. But I want to tell you, if you're in Christ, you can repent of those things and get free from those things and walk in freedom today. Don't allow the devil to make you feel guilty. But if you need to repent, repent and allow Jesus to change your heart and give you power to do what you can't do on your own. The law couldn't help us obey. It could only point out our guilt. And what is the next part it said? It says, Jesus came so that the righteous requirement of the law might be filled. And I want you to see this. In us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So Jesus came because we could not keep that law. We couldn't keep the law of sin and death. The Bible says he came to fulfill that law, to bring a righteous fulfillment. What did he do? He lived a perfect, sinless life in the flesh under the law to be the sacrifice for you and I, so that through him we could be made free from the law of sin and death, and we could graduate to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And instead of walking like the rest of the world and acting like the rest of the world and being bound to the dictates of the flesh, we could crucify those things in Christ, and we can walk in newness of life. Man, I'm telling you, that is so exciting to me. You were saved to walk in the Spirit and not the flesh. Let me tell you something. There's not many things in this world that are worse than somebody being born again by the Spirit of the living God and being set free from every attack of the devil and being set free from every hook of the flesh and turning around and walking back into it. And there's so many Christians today that are born again and they live according to the flesh. They walk according to the flesh. They act like mere men and women. They act just like the world acts. If somebody does something that they don't like, they flip out just like the world does. And why is that? Because they're not walking in the Spirit. And all of us are guilty of that, myself included. I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you that I'm a perfect person. But you understand what I'm saying? It's possible, and it's Jesus said us that you and I can walk according to the Spirit. Now, Jesus set us free to be free, not to be under the bondage to the law. What God wants to do is under bondage to our flesh. That's the purpose that you and I were set free. What God wants to do in your life and in my life is he's already set us free, but he wants us to receive the revelation that we're free and that we don't have to walk in the flesh anymore and that we can walk in the Spirit, and that walk will be so different from the world that you will preach just by living your life. And people will be convicted just because of the way you live your life. People will ask you every single day, what is different about you? Because you don't act like everybody else. You don't walk like everybody else. You don't talk like everybody else. And that will be the opportunity for you to begin to declare the love and the power of Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thing. Now, I want to read this verse of Scripture, these next few verses of Scripture in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. And this is going to show us, what are the signs of walking in the flesh? What does it look like for somebody to walk in the flesh? Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The first thing I want you to see in that first verse, it says, the works of the flesh are clearly seen by all. They're evident. They're clearly seen by all. Listen, everybody that looks at your life and looks at my life can clearly see if you're walking in the flesh or not. God can clearly see it. Your wife, your husband can clearly see it. Your children can clearly see it. The people that you work with, it's evident. It's apparent. And I don't know about you, but there are times where I don't realize that I'm doing something, but everybody around me does. I don't realize my attitude, but everybody, but it's clearly evident. And it says the works of the flesh. I want you to understand that. The works of the flesh. And then the last verse there, I want to bring this out. It says, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. People who practice walking in these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Did you know that you practice? You saw that baby practicing to walk. He was practicing. He was doing squats. He was taking little steps. He was practicing. It wasn't just one step here or one step there. And the Bible says people that practice walking this way, there are people that practice these things. They don't just do it once and feel bad about it. They do it and they get good at it. Why do football players practice football? Good at it. Good at football. Why do basketball players practice free throws? Because they want to be good at it. Why do people practice these things? Because they like it and they want to get better at it. You have to practice walking to get good and proficient at it. So I want to go through these really quickly, and I'm going to talk about some of these because it's amazing to me. Have you ever looked at this and realized that there are 17 works of the flesh right here that Paul said, 17 of them. Now, I want to just go through them really quickly because if you're like me, you probably don't know what a lot of these mean. You may think you do, but if you've never looked those up to see what do they really mean, you may not have ever even realized that, and you potentially could be walking in some of these without even knowing it, right? So let's look at this real quick. Number one, or the thing I want to say, you have to practice walking to get good at it. Number one, adultery. What is adultery? It's having sexual relations with anyone other than a person's husband or a wife. There are people that practice that, and they get good at it. They practice it. And let me tell you what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. He said, if you've even looked at a person to lust after them in your heart, you've already committed adultery with them. There are people that practice that, and they're so good at it, and they practice how to get away with it, and they come up with ways in their mind and lies and all kinds of things, and they practice to get good at that. And I want to tell you today, the people that do that will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's a very clear thing in the Bible. Number two, fornication. You look at that word fornication, if you look it up in the Greek, that word is porneia. Porneia, that's where we get the word pornography from. It's prostitution, sexual relations outside of the bond of marriage, anything that's outside of the bond of marriage. There are people that claim to be believers and claim to walk in the Spirit that practice that. They don't just do it once every now and again or here or there and slip up and accidentally do this. They practice that. And he's saying, listen, if you practice this, if this is something that you practice, don't deceive yourself. It's evident. It's evident. Don't deceive yourself. Don't think that people can't sense that on you. Don't think that people can't feel that when you come around. Don't think that it's not evident. The third one, uncleanness. That's sexual impurity and immorality in every sense of the word. The fourth one is lewdness. What does that mean? Sensuality. It's dressing, acting, or speaking in such a way as to arouse sinful desires in other people. There are people that dress in such a way, and after they dress, they go back to the mirror and they look at that part of their body to make sure that it looks good and that it's going to arouse people and get the satisfaction that they want. And I'm just telling you right now, it's not just women that do that. I've had men come up and tell me, I remember discipling a guy one time, and he came and shared with me. He goes, Pastor, I just wanted to tell you that God has been dealing with me, but I didn't to him. He said, God has been dealing with me about something, and it was kind of comical to me, but I just want to share with you because he's not going to be listening to this. And he said, on purpose. He goes, the Holy Spirit just kind of convicted me. He said, because I wear shirts that are too tight on purpose because I want women to look at my body. I want them to see my arms, and I want them to look at my chest, and I like it when I walk by and people look at me. And how many of you know that's an honest person that will be honest about it? And let me tell you what happened. God delivered him and set him free from that. And guess what he's doing now? He's walking in the Spirit. He's not doing that anymore because he was honest and open with himself, and he was open with the Word of God, and God began to change him. Number five, idolatry, anything that takes the place of God in a person's life. Anything. Anything can be an idol. We can allow anything to take God's place in our life. The next one, sorcery. This is such a crazy word, because if you look this up in the Greek, and I've heard people tell me this so many times, the Bible doesn't say anything about drugs. Wrong. Guess what this word sorcery means? It means black magic. It means witchcraft. And the word in Greek is actually pharmakeia, which is where we get the word pharmacy and pharmaceuticals from. And it's also drugs, potions, and magic spells. People practice that. And the Bible says those that practice that are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Number seven, hatred. Hostility. It means hostility and antagonism. There are people that are so hostile and so antagonistic. And it's like they just can't help themselves. Any relationship they get into, any group of people they get in, they're going to be hostile with people and they're going to be against everything. And it's just going to rise up in them and they're just going to do that. That's what we're talking about. Number eight, contentions. That's strife and quarrels. Strife and quarrels. There are people that no matter what relationship they get in, there's going to be problems somewhere. They're going to find problems with something. They're going to fight about something. They're going to just get stirred up about something. Jealousy. That means that they desire earnestly other things that they don't have. They're jealous about this or jealous about that. And jealousy, these things are stuff that are internal that nobody, you may never say it. You may never open your mouth. But let me tell you to know how you have jealousy. When you see somebody get a new car, when you see somebody get a promotion, when you see somebody have a beautiful house, or when you see something good happening in a person's life, what rises up on the inside of you? If you're walking in the spirit, you rejoice with that person. If you're walking in the flesh, jealousy rises up, and you begin to have thoughts like, why them, God, and not me? Why does this person get that, and I'm serving you, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that? Those jealousies that rise up, it's a work of the flesh. Outbursts of wrath, number 10, it's fury, anger, fits of rage. Let me talk about this for a moment. There are people that it does not matter. You can be in relationship with certain people and you cannot say anything to them about certain things because you know what's coming if you do. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You try to bring that up with them, you can do it in the most loving way and in the most kind way. And if you mention that, they'll defend themselves with outbursts of anger and wrath. Don't you bring that up. And they'll get fired up and just, and you know, I'm not going there. I'd like to talk with you about this. I'd love to be able to help you. I'd love to be able to deal with this with you. But I know good and well I can't talk to you because you're prone to outbursts of wrath. Anytime something doesn't go your way, you fly off the handle. You get fired up. You get stirred up. You kick stuff. Man, I've done that before. Trust me. I've went in my room and stomped on the floor like a little kid as a grown man and then realize what I'm doing and say, God, forgive me. What in the world? I'm acting like a kid here. You know, all of us, if we're honest, we're going to operate in some of these at some time, right? Number 11, selfish ambitions. That's selfish rivalries. Pitting yourself against another brother or sister for no reason. Number 12, dissensions, divisions, standing apart. Walking in the flesh is like, I don't even care. I'm going to divide myself from these people. I'm part of the group, but guess what? I'm mad at that person, so I'm going to come over here and try to get these people to like me and listen to me, and we're just going to get away from them because of that person. That's divisions and dissension. That's what this is talking about. 13 is heresies. If you look that word up in the Greek, you know what's amazing, and I'm just going to say this and leave it alone, party spirit. That's what a heresy is. It's a party spirit. It's a spirit that tries to divide us based off of similarities and differences. It's a party spirit. Heresy. 14 is envy. Jealous of what belongs to somebody else. Looking at somebody else's wife or husband. Looking at somebody else's job. Looking at their career. Looking at that and being envious of that. 15, murders. We understand that. And before we think, oh, well, I'm good in that area, what did Jesus say? He said, listen, if you've hated somebody, you're... Number 16, drunkenness. Number 16, drunkenness, besides the Holy Spirit, is a work of the flesh. Listen, when we get drunk, we're filled with another spirit besides the Holy Spirit. That's a work of the flesh, and people that do that are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And then number 17, we'll look at this one, revelries, wild parties, drunken parties, orgies, those types of things. That's what a revelry is. Not reveille, but revelries, right? And the Bible tells us that those who practice or walk in these things won't inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because they're walking in the flesh and they're subject to what? The law of sin and death. When you're walking in the flesh, you're subject to the law of sin and death. The Spirit will never lead you into these things. Nobody will ever be able to stand before God and say, you know what, I got drunk because the Holy Spirit led me into that. Or I had this adulterous relationship and the Holy Spirit led me right. I've heard people try to make that sound like that way. I've even actually heard Christians say, well, God led me to this person. No, He did not. If you were married, that was not the Holy Spirit that led you to that person. I'm sorry. There are people that will try to rationalize and do all kinds of things and blame things on God. And what we have to understand is you're either walking in the flesh or you're walking in the Spirit. And if you're not born again, you're absolutely walking in the flesh. If you are born again, you get to choose what you're going to walk in. You're either walking in the flesh or you're walking in the Spirit. The Spirit won't lead you into these things, and these things can be seen and help us to understand if we're walking in the flesh. So I want to just encourage you. It would be good to take some time, and you don't see people do this very often. Go through that list and look at it and be honest and ask the Holy Spirit, am I walking in any of this? Is any of this happening in my life? Maybe He's already showing you something, and I'm just going to tell you, it's this simple. We make things so complicated. It's this simple. If you'll be real with God, God will be real with you. God will send people to your life that will be real to you. He'll send people in your life that'll point things out and just say, listen, I love you, but I can see this. What does it say? These things are evident. They're evident. People can see it. And most of the time, sometimes we're doing things and we don't even see it, but everybody else does. Have you ever had that happen to you before? I've had that happen to me before, and it's a frustrating thing because I've had times where I thought that I was a certain way, and I would say, babe, can you believe this person accused me of that? And then she doesn't say anything right away. It's like there's a silence, and I'm like, oh, can you believe that? And she's like, well, you know, now that you bring it up, I am doing that, and I don't even realize it. And how many of you know that's why the Bible says, listen, don't be deceived. You know the problem with deception? You don't know it's happening. If you knew you were being deceived, you'd stop it. You don't know you're being deceived. That's why you need other people. That's why you need to walk with other believers so that you can have people in your life that you trust enough that stuff about me that I don't like to hear. I know it's true because if it wasn't, she wouldn't say it because she knows that's going to hurt me. I'm not going to like it. I'm not going to want to hear it. And this is what many of us do. We don't get in relationships with people to the fact that we don't have to do that. We don't want to hear that. We want to keep doing what we're doing. And so we isolate ourselves from other believers who could put their finger on that in love and say, listen, brother, listen, sister, I want to be honest with you. And I want to tell you that that number 14 on the list, I'm seeing it. It's evident to everybody but you, and I love it as we're walking in the front of you and tell you. And the problem is that a lot of times we get that outburst of anger because we're walking in the flesh and we don't want to hear it, and we blow people off and we break off relationships with believers that could actually benefit our lives, and we separate ourselves and we do what we want to do anyway. Galatians 5, 22 through 25. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit... Notice it's not the work of the Spirit. It's the work of the flesh. It's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, I want you to understand this as we look at the fruit of the Spirit. They're nine. And it's not fruits of the Spirit, it's fruit of the Spirit. What does that mean? If you have one, you have all nine. Because they don't come from yourself. They don't come from anything that you do. They come from a vital connection with the Spirit of God through Jesus Christ. I don't have to work to produce the Spirit's fruit in my life. I have to work to produce the works of the flesh. I have to go out of my way to be an adulterer. I have to go out of my way to hate someone. I have to go out of my way to do these other things. I have to work at it. I have to practice it. You don't practice the fruit of the Spirit. You don't work for the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is a direct blessing. It's a direct flow from your connection with the Spirit of God as you humble yourself and you repent of your sins and you get connected to the living vine, which is Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thing. That's why Jesus said, listen, you want to walk in the Spirit? You can't do it on your own. John 15, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. I am the vine. You're the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. And he says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you're going to bring forth fruit and you're going to bring forth much fruit. It's all about abiding in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, when you abide in Christ, you walk in the Spirit and you crucify the flesh and you don't walk in the flesh. If you don't abide in Christ, you're going to go right back to the flesh. Is that making sense this morning? Jesus has set us free from the flesh, brothers and sisters. So let's not go back to that. Let's not go back to that way of thinking, that way of living. But let's be free people and be free indeed. And let's allow the Spirit of God to rule in our lives. What do we have to be if we want to walk in the Spirit and we want to have this fruit of the Spirit in our lives? We've got to have a vital connection with Jesus Christ. We've got to have a real relationship with Jesus Christ. We can't just pray mental assent time up front. We can't just have a, if you're prayer and make a mental assent to know Christ, because if you've not been born again, if your spirit has not really been changed, if you've not been changed and transformed on the inside, you can't do anything but walk in the flesh. You can't do anything but walk in the flesh. Religion, what it does is religion puts rules, external rules on us and tries to force us to be good, right? But the problem with that is you can force somebody to be good long enough, but if I'm rotten on the inside, eventually the rot is going to come out. It's like you trying to spray paint. How many of you have ever tried to spray paint your deck furniture when it gets rusty bubbles? And then you just go out there and spray paint over it. What happens in like a week or two? It just bubbles right off again. Why? Because all that rust is still up under there. You might can paint it up for a minute and make it look good when other people are coming over, but within a week, it's rotted back through again. And that's exactly what it looks like when somebody tries to walk the Christian life in the flesh and they're not been born again. They've not been changed on the inside. And then we come back to church and then we try to cover ourselves back up again and we try to get pretty again so we can come to church. And then we go out during the week and we try in the flesh to live for Jesus. Except we walk in the flesh instead of the Spirit. And instead of coming in and just admitting that and saying, God, I need your grace. I need your help. Jesus, I can't live this life without you. We keep playing a game and trying to make it look like we're good. And I just want to tell you this morning, you don't have to do that. You absolutely don't have to live that way any longer if you're living that way. You can be real with God. And what he's saying is listen, you can Spirit of God. Spirit. You can absolutely walk in the Spirit and be controlled by the Spirit of God. Jesus said, I am the vine, you're the branches, and abiding in Christ produces the Spirit's fruit in our life. No other way are you going to see love. What's so amazing, have you ever been in a situation where, like, I know when I'm walking in the Spirit and when I'm not. I can tell you right now, I've been walking with the Lord for about 20 years. And that's what's so crazy about this. You can slip right into the flesh. You can have an outburst of anger. I have gone from walking in the Spirit to an outburst of anger just like that. Because I allowed something to get between. I allowed that to come in. And I'm going to be honest with you. Anybody can do that. But what happens is when you walk in the Spirit, immediately when that happens, you know that it happened. And you feel not condemnation, but conviction from the Holy Spirit. Because you know that you've been set free from the law of sin and death by the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus. And you know God has made you for more than that. And I'm just telling you, when you realize that, repent right away. Tell God, Lord, I'm sorry. I've looked people right in the face and said, listen, let me repent. Let me ask you to forgive me right now because I just got dumb for a second here. I just stepped in the flesh. And you can see that. You can understand that and know that. And I'm just telling you, God wants us to live in the Spirit today. He wants us to have that love, that joy, that peace. How many of you want peace in your life today? And do you notice that peace is not a work? We try to work for peace. We try to do things to get peace, and I'm just telling you, you don't have to do anything to get peace except repent of your sins, put your faith in Jesus, and walk in the Spirit. And when you walk in the Spirit, peace is an overflow of the Spirit-led life. You don't have to strain for it. Have you ever seen a grapevine where grapes are just straining to pop out on the vine? It doesn't happen. They don't have to. It's just a direct result of being connected to the vine and the branch. That connection produces grapes. Your connection with Jesus is going to bring peace through you. Why? Because he is the Prince of Peace. You don't have to do anything. There's no law against these things, the Bible says, in contrast to the law against the works of the flesh. Look at this. Those who are Christ, who belong to Christ, it says, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So what he's saying, listen, if you belong to Christ, what do you have to do? You have to crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. In other words, you have to die to that. Romans says, reckon yourselves dead to sin. In other words, you've been crucified with Christ. What did the Apostle Paul say in Galatians 2:20? I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The Spirit of Christ lives in me and through me now. I'm not even living anymore because guess what? I'm dead. Down, he got crucified. He got put on the cross with Jesus Christ. And now there's a new James walking in the Spirit. And he still has the same ability to do those things. But now he lives by a higher power that doesn't come from himself, but comes from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And now God has given me the ability to walk free from those things. And he's given you the ability from the flesh. And God can use your life as a testimony to put up in front of other people. And they say, listen, Chris, I used to know you. And I used to know how you act and how you talked, and now I see you a different person. It's clearly evident now that you're not walking in those things anymore. There's something that's changed in your life. And I'm telling you, there's nothing that will preach the gospel more powerful than a life changed by Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thing. And that is the testimony that God wants for every one of us to have. Jesus died so that we could be free from sin. Reckon yourself free from the law so that we can be free from those things. You got to reckon yourself dead to that stuff. You're going to fall. We make mistakes because guess what? Think about that baby. How many times did he fall? Listen, you're going to fall. I'm going to fall. I'm going to trip. I'm going to make mistakes because I'm human. You're going to make mistakes because you're human. But the difference is we're not going to practice those mistakes. We're not going to practice sin. We're going to practice abiding in Jesus Christ. How many of you have tried to abide in Christ and after like a day you're like, how do you do this? You know what that word abide means? It means to dwell down in, to live in, to make your home in. Many of us have tried that, but we failed at it. And then after a while we just give up because we say, well, you know, what am I going to do? I tried it. I've tried it once. I've tried it twice. I've tried it 100 times. I've been following Jesus for 20 years, 15 years, and I'm still doing the same dumb thing. Listen, I want you to see God standing up like that dad was and looking at you saying, man, I know you can do it. Come on, get back up. My son died so that you could get up and walk in the Spirit. Jesus gave his life so that you could get up and walk in the Spirit, not so that you could still walk in the flesh and walk like everybody else, but so that there could be a difference in your life that would bring a difference in other people's lives. And that's the power of the gospel in action of what God wants to do. Jesus died so that we could be free from the dictates of the flesh and walk in the Spirit. And I want to tell you, I'm going to close with this today, and we're getting ready to receive communion today. So James, if you want to go ahead and come and pass that out, I'm going to ask if you would just hold your communion until the end, and then we're going to eat and drink together. But I just want to say this today. Jesus died so that we could be free from the dictates of the flesh and walk in the Spirit. And if you're not free and you want to be free today, let me just be honest with you. It doesn't matter if you come down front or if you sit in your chair or if you go home and you pray in your car on the way home. Preachers like for people to come up front because it makes us feel good because we can actually see things, right? But I'm just telling you, you coming down front doesn't really have anything to do with anything. So if you want to, you feel free to come down front. If you don't, stay right where you are. But what I want to tell you today is that if you have a desire, if you know that something's going on in your life today, and you say, God, I know that I'm not walking in the Spirit, and I want to. And I've been walking in the flesh in this particular area, and I'm not just walking in the flesh, but I'm practicing this. I'm habitually walking in this. And inside of me, there's a desire not to do it, but there's also a desire to do it. Does that make sense? Because a lot of times that's what happens. We think when we get saved, we're not going to have desires that are evil. And the Bible's telling us, no, that's not the case. The Apostle Paul said that, listen, the thing that I don't want to do, I do. And the thing that I want to do, I don't do. Why? Because there's two natures on the inside of me fighting against each other. And I just want to tell you today that Jesus Christ died so that you could be free from the law of sin and death. And you could fly with him and you could soar with him according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And when you receive Jesus, you receive power to walk free from the flesh. And so we just want to take a moment and we want to give you an opportunity today, right where you are, just to be real with God and just to close your eyes for a moment. Before we eat and drink, the Bible says, listen, examine yourself. Examine yourself. Are you walking in the Spirit today or are you walking in the flesh? Is your mind dominated by the flesh or is your mind dominated by the Spirit? Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and just ask Him, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do with this word today? What should I do today? Thank you. What do you want us to do today, Holy Spirit, with the word that we've received? Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name. If there's any sin that we need to confess, Father, I pray right now all over this place that a spirit of repentance would come in. Lord, forgive us of living beneath the call that you've placed on us, living beneath the call of walking in the Spirit. Lord, I've been guilty of that, and I pray that you would forgive me today. I pray, Father, that you would forgive us of our sins. I pray that you would forgive us of not walking in the fullness that you died so that we could walk in. And Lord, I just declare right now over every person, Holy Spirit, as you begin to deal with hearts, I pray that people would not hide from you because those things are evident. They're evident to everyone around us. They're evident to you, God. And the greatest thing in the world today is because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed, we can be forgiven if we'll confess our sins to you, God. Not to a man, but to you. And if you got anything you need to confess, if you got anything you need to repent of, right now is the time to do it. Just get real with God for a moment. Just right where you're sitting, just get real with God and say, Father, I need you to forgive me from this, and I thank you for breaking the power of it in my life. I thank you that the blood of Jesus was shed to set me free from this law of sin and death so that I could go with you. Jesus, I thank you for your blood. We thank you for your blood today. We thank you for your body that was broken today. We thank you for your word that changes us today. Did for us on the cross. And drink today. We eat and drink, remembering you, remembering what you did for us on the cross, remembering that Jesus, the good news of the just, the righteous, is that you came and died for us. The just for the unjust, the righteous for the unrighteous. The great exchange, Lord. You took our place and you did what we couldn't do. You kept the law. You fulfilled the law so that we could be set free from the righteous requirements of the law. And we thank you for that. And Father, I thank you right now that as we eat and drink victory in Jesus' name. Thank you that your body was broken and your blood was shed to destroy the power of sin that leads us astray, that tries to lead us astray. And Lord, we just thank you for your grace today. Thank you for your mercy today. Lord, we just love you and honor you today in Jesus' name. You can eat and drink today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for freedom in the blood of Christ. Thank you for freedom in Jesus' name. Thank you for freedom right now, Lord. Thank you for freedom right now, Lord. Thank you for freedom right now, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that your word says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Now, if there's anybody here, and I feel like there is, and you're saying, listen, I want to get free from this, and I'm not even going to call anything out, but I'm just telling you that there's freedom in the house right now. There's freedom to get away from certain things and to have certain things broken. And if you know the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you and you want to pray and you want to ask God to break something that's been pray for you today, and I'm telling you there's freedom right now if you'll move. There's freedom if you'll respond. If that's you, I'm going to give you just a few seconds to come. And we want to pray for you today before we dismiss. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, for freedom today. I thank you for freedom today. I thank you for freedom today. Just go ahead and come on up here, guys. Hallelujah. Let's just pray and let's just stay in a spirit of prayer right now. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you for the power that's in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for your Son, and I thank you for his desire to walk in the Spirit today. I thank you for the humility that's in his heart, God. And Lord, I thank you right now for freedom in Jesus' name. Freedom in Jesus' name. Freedom in Jesus' name. I declare every hook, every binding thing, everything that has bound you, we break it in the name of Jesus Christ. And we declare freedom right now to walk in the Spirit. We declare freedom right now from every work of the flesh. Father, I thank you right now for blessing my brother. I thank you for breaking that off of his life, God. I give you praise for it in Jesus' name. And I just see your testimony going out to many people. The presence of God flowing out of you. The grace of God flowing out of you in the very issue that you came for. And God says, get ready, brother, because I'm getting ready to bring men around you who have been bound, and you're going to share the love of God. You're going to share the power of God. You're going to see the healing power of God even come to your heart in areas where you've been hurt. You're going to see the power of God go from you into others, and it's going to be a powerful thing in Jesus' name. And I just see young men being set free from all kinds of things because of your testimony. Lord, I thank you for it. I praise you for it, and I give you glory for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for my brother. Lord, I bless him today in Jesus' name. Thank you for his humility, God. Thank you for his desire, God, to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Lord, thank you that he doesn't care what other people think about him, God. He cares what you think about him. And Lord, I ask you right now that every binding thing, Father, everything that the devil has been able to do in his life, God, every attack of the enemy against his mind, God, I bind it right now in Jesus' name. And I declare over you that you have the mind of Christ. And Lord, I just thank you right now. I see the word of God going in you, and I see your mind being renewed. And I hear the Holy Spirit say, get into my word and get into my word and get into my word. And I hear God saying, as you memorize the word and as you meditate on the word and as the word becomes a part of who you are, you're going to be able to walk in the Spirit with a greater ease. And God says he's seen your desire. He sees your heart. He knows that your desire is to do that. And in the past, you have tripped up and you have slipped up. And God says that he's looking at you just like that dad looks at his son when he begins to try to walk. And he sees you, and he's pleased with the way that you're trying. And he says, listen, don't try to walk in the Spirit by the flesh. It's as you abide in Christ and you abide in his word that the power of God is going to be released in your life to do. I thank you for being able to do. And Father, I just thank you for that right now. I bless Thomas right now, God. I thank you for freedom in Jesus' name. I thank you, God. I give you praise. Breaking right now. Lord, I thank you for new life right now in Jesus' name, and I give you praise for it. I give you praise for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Holy Spirit, we bless you. We bless you, Holy Spirit. We bless you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for ministering today. Hallelujah. 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 I just keep seeing the word freedom over you. Miss Noriko, I see freedom. I see freedom. I see freedom. And I see like there's been a ceiling above your head. And you've even felt like when you pray that the words just fall right back down. And I see that ceiling shattering right now. I see that ceiling shattering right now. And I see your words going up to the Father. I see your praise going up to the Father. And I even feel like the devil has tried to rob your praise. I feel like there are things that have happened and things that have come up where you are a worshiper and you're a praiser, and I feel like he's tried to stop that flow. And I feel like God is saying that that is a mighty source, not just for you, but for others in your family and others in the body of Christ, that God has made you a warrior in the Spirit, and there's a spiritual warfare that you understand how to do that even a lot of people don't even understand. They don't even understand those things. And God is saying he's put that in you, that praise of a warrior on the inside of you that even can open up heavens over areas. And I see that the devil has come to try to rip that away and try to stop that from coming out of you. And I just hear God saying, freedom in Jesus' name. Freedom in Jesus' name. Freedom in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you right now that your word says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And God, Jesus, break every attack of the devil, every assignment of the enemy. We bind him right now in Jesus' name, and we loose the spirit of praise over her right now, God. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. I thank you for a new joy. I thank you for abiding in Christ. And Lord, we bless her today, and we give you praise for her today, oh God, in Jesus' name. Thank you for setting her free to walk in the Spirit today, Father. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We worship you. We worship you. Just begin to worship the Lord with me right now. Lord, we praise you. We honor you. We give you glory for what you're doing, God. Oh God, I thank you for the humility of your people and the desire, Father, to be touched by you and the desire to walk in the Spirit, Father. Lord, I thank you for it. I thank you for it, Father. Lord, I thank you for your daughter this morning. Lord, I thank you for love. I thank you for love, God. I thank you that your love breaks through right now. Thank you right now, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Hallelujah. I just hear the Lord saying that he's pleased with your desire to love and be loved. That you have a strong desire to love him and to love others. And it seems like things have happened to get in the way of that. Things have happened and hurts have happened and pains have happened. And the devil has tried to do things to disrupt your faith and to disrupt your walk with God. And I just hear God, what I see is I just see like a strength that's coming to your walk. I see that there's a strengthening coming to you. I see new relationships of women coming into your life to speak the word of God over you and to speak the truth of God's word over you. And I feel like God is saying that that's going to be a really important thing in the future, that you surround yourself with those women who are going to speak life over you. And I just see you growing, Gabriella. I see you growing into a new thing. I even see a butterfly coming out of a cocoon, and I hear God say, new life is coming. New life is coming. New spiritual life is coming. That the season has passed, and I know that you've just moved up here, and I hear God saying that a new season is passed, that you need to forget about those things that are behind, and you need to press forward to what God has for you in the future. And I just hear God say, don't look back, but look forward, because what I have for you is greater than everything that has happened up into your life into this season. And I hear God saying that don't look back and don't long for the things of old, but understand that he's doing a new thing. Lord, I just thank you for that. I thank you for freedom right now in every area. I thank you, God, that you set her free to walk in the Spirit and to walk in newness of life. And God, we praise you for it. We give you glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, we love you this morning. We worship you this morning. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your grace that is in this place. Thank you for your presence that's here today, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we worship you. We honor you and we love you. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for what you've done in this place today. We thank you for your word. God, I pray that as we get ready to fellowship together, that hearts would be opened, God. Thank you for including us in the body of Christ. Thank you for giving us a home, God. Thank you for giving us family and friends that love us, Father. Thank you that the church would be the church today. Lord, that we could encourage one another, that we could love one another, that we could pray for one another. God, we love you today. We give you praise today for everything you've done. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Kelly. Come on.